Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We've got a great show for you. Second hour, we got our own chaplain, Father Sam Keyes, and we'll do Ask a Priest. Second hour, you are welcome to call with any question at all that would be appropriate for a Catholic priest. This hour, we've got Beth and Edward Sree, you know, Dr. Ted Sree from the Augustine Institute and from Focus. But before we get to them, we're going to talk with them about the messiness of marriage. They have a new book out called The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. But before we bring them on, I did want to talk with our own director of development, David Matheson. David, you've been raising the money to get this pro-life book out. I just wanted to ask you for a little update. How are we doing with the pro-life effort?
Yeah, it's a team effort. Of course, even our president, Christopher Check, has been out on the road to raise money for this effort. And as you know, Cy, we've been involved in the pro-life movement for a long time here at Catholic Answers. There has never been, here at least, an effort as large and as widespread as the Why We're Pro-Life booklet. It's a wonderful booklet. You've talked about it many times on the air. Trent, maybe he is the best at explaining the pro-life position and teaching others to do it effectively as well. And that's what this booklet is all about. So it has two purposes. One, for the person who is very pro-life but would like some help in better articulating why we're pro-life, hence the name of the book. But also it's a booklet that someone who is not as skilled or doesn't have the time or in one way or another is unable to have this conversation might be able to hand it to someone who is maybe on the fence and say, hey, I know we're not connecting here for one reason or another. Would you just read this?
Yeah, right.
And let Trent explain to the reader why we're pro-life. So things are going great. We're in the midst of, well, we sent it out a few weeks back, but we sent out a letter to folks asking for some help with this particular effort because we went ahead and we took a step out on this. As important as this is, we went ahead and printed 500,000 copies of this.
Already printed in the warehouse.
And now we're trying to, and trying successfully so far, to get these in the hands of people that need them. So we took this step out. Now we're trying to raise the money in order to pay for the first 500,000. We want to distribute 5, 10, 15 million of these when all is said and done.
Wow.
That's what we want to do. But we need the help of the folks who are out there on the front lines to distribute it. And the folks to whom the pro-life cause, life in general, is particularly important, we need them to step up and help us as well.
And when you say distribute it, and why we need to pay for it is, like, say you got a pro-life ministry in a school or at a university or somewhere. We're not charging you for this. We're giving it to
That's
you for
right.
free.
That's right. Now, there is a vetting process. So what we want you to do is if you are involved in an organization, we want the head of your organization or somebody who's very high up to go to Why We Are Pro-Life, all spelled out, whywearepro-life.com. There's a button there you'll see to request copies of the booklet. We're going to ask several questions there just to make sure you're a legitimate organization, just to make sure as well that we don't want to send you 250, 500 copies of this booklet. And for one reason or another, you may be well-intentioned, but you won't be able to get them out in the hands of people. We want you to pass them out. So we're going to ask you several questions, and then Rosie Barrick, who is heading this up from an administrative standpoint, will vet it, maybe have a follow-up email or phone call conversation with you, and then we will get it out to your organization absolutely free of charge, no shipping, no cost for the booklets. That's why we need financial support in order to make it happen. But so far, let me just say real quick, so far we have sent out north of 30,000 booklets. Wow. And we're just getting started. We want everybody to have it.
The booklet is Why We're Pro-Life as an Apostolate. We're in this business now because with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, it's important that we do the hearts and minds work. And that means having reasonable arguments for why we're pro-life. You can get it. You can find out all about it at whywearepro-life.com. David, thank you for coming in.
You bet, Cy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, if you want to talk with the Srees, I know you do. There's many, many people who would like an opportunity to talk with Beth. Beth and Edward Sree, and you are welcome to call 888-318-7884 this hour. As I mentioned before, they have a new book out called The Good, The Messy, and The Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. Dr. Edward and Beth Sree, thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having us.
One thing people should know is, in addition to writing this book together, you've also been married more than 20 years and 8 children that you have produced as a team effort. So you know of what you speak. So why the book, though? What hit you and you said, we're going to get this book out about the good, the messy, and the beautiful of married life?
You know, I think just in our work with Focus, and just we mentor a lot of young couples, we meet so many great devout Catholics, and they love Jesus, they get engaged, they're so excited, but they're thinking, hey, you know, we go to adoration, we pray, we're Catholic, and, you know, I know marriage is hard, but, you know, we're not going to have the struggles like everyone else does. And then they live marriage for about 3 months or 3 years or 3 babies into it, and it's like, whoa, like they're overwhelmed, like I had no idea how hard this is. And they feel really discouraged. They feel like, oh, why are we fighting? And there's this tension. And, you know, like, why is this happening? And we just smile saying, oh, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
It means the sacrament's working. It's all right. You know, we wanted to write this to encourage them to know that this is normal, but also to inspire them to, what do you do in that moment? Because that's the place that God is inviting us to grow in new ways, to take our love to a different level.
I'm so happy that you said that way, because in my own marriage, my wife has said, why does nobody tell people about this, that you're going to hit these walls, that there's going to be these times that it feels way harder than you thought it was going to feel. So I'm glad that in a way that, I mean, it does have a lot of humor. It has a lot that's lighthearted in it, but it's quite realistic about the difficulties of marriage.
Yeah, one of the analogies we use is that the story at the wedding at Cana, we like to think about a lot. Pope Benedict once made a point that the initial love that brings a husband and wife together is good. It's beautiful. It's like that first wine at Cana. Everyone loved it. They drank it, but then it ran out, and it didn't go the distance. And Jesus had to come into the midst of that poverty, into the midst of that lack. And it's there that then he fills the you know, the water to the brim, and then and creates the good wine, the one that goes the distance. And Pope Benedict used that as an analogy that's what happens in married life, that there's that initial love that brought us together when we fall in love. We just want to be together all the time, and we were engaged, can't wait for married life. But then eventually that won't last. It won't go the distance. That in the end, it's going to fall short. We'll be hurt. There'll be misunderstandings. There'll be tension. And Jesus wants to come in the midst of that. And he's inviting us to fill us with a deeper love, like to take our love to the next level. So we always talk about how God is bringing our love on a journey. And the idea is to not go backwards, but you're looking at, because that's what a lot of people want to do. I want to go backwards. They say, no. How can this love deepen moving forward?
Sorry, Beth, go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
Two here in one. The backwards part, I feel like it's so intense. You know, then you fall in love and you have these intense feelings and you come along side to side and you eventually get married. And it's tempting to want to say, oh, that was more real than what we have now. Well, the reality is what we have now is very real and very purifying. But we want to take it to the next level of the married couple that's been together 50 plus years, and their love transcends even language, that they can grunt and finish coffee and they just know where the other one is at because they've been together for so long. They know how certain words are going to land and how certain happenings in their lives are all going to affect them.
Right.
That's not the gooey, like superficial that brought you together.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884. Dr. Edward Sree and Beth Sree are our guests, the parents of 8 children. And now the authors, they're the authors of many other things, but now the authors of a brand new book called The Good, The Messy, and The Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. It's available now from Ascension Press. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Your calls are very welcome. It's in a weird way, it seems like a Catholic in particular should be prepared for this, because we say things all the time like, well, there's no you know, heaven without the cross. We don't go just to glory. We have to take up our cross each day and follow. But it still comes as a surprise that marriage is and marriage and children is really, really hard. Why do you think we're surprised?
It reminds me of that Francis de Sales quote.
I love that quote. Yeah. I ran across this a few years ago in a book a friend wrote, and he basically says, in marriage, one takes a vow, but it's the only vocation where a vow is taken before a novitiate. Because if there were a novitiate, how few would enter into it?
What a great quote.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets it. Totally gets it. It's so hard, but so good.
And there's no mother superior. As a matter of fact, if there is a mother superior there, this is not going to be helpful in marriage. You have to play that role for one another. That's an extraordinary quote, right on the money. We do have a bunch of folks on the phone, and I'm not going to keep you from talking with the Sries. You are very welcome. But I do have to take a quick break. So a couple lines open, 888-318-7884. You know Dr. Edward Sries as a theologian and one of the founders, as a matter of fact, of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And right now he is also serving as Senior Vice President of Apostolic Outreach. You know Beth Sri from all kinds of her speaking and her, maybe she was a contributor to the Ave Prayer Book for Catholic Moms. You've maybe seen her as one of the presenters of Beloved, Finding Happiness in Marriage. Well, among the many other things they have done together, now they've got this book together, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. Maybe you're approaching marriage and you'd like to talk to them, get their help. Maybe you're in those struggling years. Maybe you just like to be prepared for the future when marriage comes around for you. Anyone's welcome to call 888-318-7884. Right back with more with the Sries right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards is our show for young adults.
Everybody's talking about encounter. Everybody's talking about that mountaintop experience. What we fail to often talk about is what happens after. What happens beyond that Damascus moment?
Jesus Christ is calling all of us to be missionary disciples, disciples of Jesus who are on mission to bring the kingdom of God here and now on this earth.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards, Saturday at 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I know there's many, many people who are interested in those pro-life booklets we were talking about. Some, I'm sure, are interested in how they can help with that. You can just send an email to customerservice@catholic.com, and they will get right back to you with how you can get your free copies for your pro-life group. We're deadly serious about it. We want to do this first 500,000 and then 1 million and hopefully millions of Why We're Pro-Life booklets. Customerservice@catholic.com is where you can reach out and get your copies. On the first hour here, with us, Beth and Edward Sree. The Sries, many of you know them from their various ministry efforts, and they are various and many of them quite fruitful, including Symbolon, right?
Yep.
Oh, you can't just nod, Dr. Sree. It's radio. You have to say yes or no.
That's one of my greatest blessings to be a part of that. Yeah.
But this is a labor of love, I'm sure, for the both of you. This book, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. I have to say, when I got into Catholic radio, when I took this job, there was a very popular Catholic radio person who said to me, don't ever be false about marriage. Tell the truth about that marriage is difficult. Don't lie about your struggles with marriage. People don't need a postcard. They don't need, pretense that, oh, if you're just Catholic, it's all easy. And I've tried to live by that advice. And I'm so delighted that you have this book out because as we were talking about, and you gave us that beautiful quote that was from... De Sales?
De Sales.
Oh, yeah. But it is the cross. We don't pass into all the joys of marriage without passing by way of the cross.
Yeah, this is why we wrote the book, really, because we see there's a lot of great stuff on the theology, the heady theology. I teach those things, you know, and I write about that on that level. And there's a lot of more like kind of self-help marriage books, like here's 7 ways to communicate better with your spouse and 3 ways to have a good fight, you know, or whatever. And those can be really helpful too. But there wasn't anything getting like at the heart of marriage itself, like a spirituality and finding Jesus in the midst of the ordinary challenges and the bigger challenges that come up in most married lives, you know. But I think when it comes to the cross, I know when I was young, you know, and we were falling in love and getting married, I had this whole vision. You've heard that line, Cy, you know, like a Catholic, you know, helps their spouse get to heaven. That's what you do. That's what marriage is. You help your spouse get to heaven. And I remember being, oh, I'm going to help Beth get to heaven. That's my mission. And I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to sacrifice for her and, you know, make sure she has time for pray. And I'll lead my family by my example. I'm going to help Beth get to heaven. You know, and I realized that's all great. And it's noble aspirations. But the main way, after 20 plus years of marriage, the main way I help Beth get to heaven is this. Every day of her life, Beth, Sri, has to deal with me. She has to deal with my faults, my impatience, right. My pride, you know, all my quirkiness, all those things. And she's going to learn to love at a deeper level in this way. It just reminds me of, you know, on Good Friday when Jesus was on the cross, you think about how he felt. You know, he was abandoned. He was misunderstood. There was a lack of appreciation for what he came to do for them. His closest friends weren't there for him. He couldn't lean on them at that time. And there were hurtful words, hurtful actions. That's marriage. I mean, that's what happens in marriage. There's misunderstandings. There's sometimes you don't appreciate the other person. You don't honor them the way you should. There's hurtful words. You know, these things happen in ordinary married life.
Yeah, and it reminds us of a story of a young couple that we knew, and they had gotten married, and they visited us a year after. And we were sitting around chatting, and Ted asked them, what is the biggest surprise for you in marriage? And without skipping a beat, the wife answered, his socks. And we were like, wait, what? Like, there's a backstory here. And so she proceeded to tell us before they were married, she was helping him pack up his home to prepare to move in with her after the wedding, and she was packing up, for instance, the bathroom cabinet, and she found dirty socks, like rumpled up. She's packing up the bookcase, found more rumpled socks. In the most random places, she kept finding socks. And then she remembered, he does buy socks every time we go to the store. And then she realized this could be an issue. Fast forward, it was an issue. And she would very dutifully, lovingly pick up the socks around the house after they were married. And then one day she thought, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to leave a sock here on the floor.
Oh, no.
And see how long until he notices. And the sweet husband, you know, more the free spirit, you know, in the marriage, he would see the sock when he passed by and think, oh, I got to pick that up next time I go down. Of course, he would forget. Next day, same thing. And finally, he realized the sock was still there. That she knew about the sock.
Yeah.
She was testing her.
Yeah.
It was a test.
So we're laughing about this. And the reason we love the story is like in the moment, like just picture we're in our living room by the fire having wine.
Laughing.
And they're laughing. We're all laughing together. And all of a sudden I made this crazy statement. So I said to the couple, that sock is like a mini tabernacle in your marriage. And everyone's looking at me, what are you talking about? I said, well, like the real tabernacle in our churches has the real body and blood of Christ, right? But these little frustrations in married life, you know, it could be a sock. It could be where you keep the cups, how you do the dishes, how you spend the money, how you treat the kids, like whatever. There's all these frustrations that will come up in the marriage. These aren't just little problems to be solved, little annoyances, or what do you say, like pet peeves?
Pet peeves.
Yeah. Pet peeve 58 or something.
I have them all numbered.
You know, they're not just little problems. They're actually places of encounter. They're places that Jesus is inviting us to meet him in our spouse in that moment of disappointment or frustration, annoyance or hurt, whatever it is. In other words, like it's an encounter moment, like we encounter our Lord most, beautifully, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle there. Don't think that these aren't places that we meet God and he's inviting us to love him in our spouse, to love like he did on Good Friday when he didn't feel he was treated well. He still loved, was patient, was generous. And so I said, you know, for her, you're learning to be more patient. You're learning to be more, you know, compassionate and forgiving. And I, you know, and you know, I said to the husband, you're learning that you gotta take care of your socks. But we're all being invited to change.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's It's that transformation, that change in those difficulties that God wants to work in our souls.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884. Our guests are Dr. Edward Sree and Beth Sree, the parents of Aiden, in addition to everything else that they do, and married more than 20 years with a new book, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. There's a lot of folks on the phones. Shall we go to the phones?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Let's start with Wendy in Wisconsin. Listen to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Wendy, thank you for your patience. Go ahead with your question for the Srees.
Hello, and thank you for doing what you do. I appreciate it. I watch you a lot on Forms. We really appreciate that. My husband and I, we've been blessed. We've been married for 34, almost 35 years. And, you know, you're right. There are lots of struggles, and there are lots of things that we do, and, you know, we make sure that we do. But one of the things we used to do is we used to do marriage prep days for couples who were getting ready to be married. And we used to tell them, you don't believe this right now, but you are so much in love right now that you want to get married. You want to have this sacramental marriage. But 10 years from now, you will love your spouse more than you do right now. Believe that or not, that is what's going to happen. Is there a scriptural base that we can use to share that?
Ah, that insight. Yeah. I think you should say 10 to 20 years just from personal experience. I think you should give a range, but go ahead. What does scripture say?
Well, I would use the analogy that we started the show with from Pope Benedict about the wine.
Right.
You know, I think that's it, because the wine, the first wine was good, you know, but the second wine, if you remember what they say in the story, you know, first of all, it's 6 stone jars for purification. Each of those jars hold, you know, over 20, 25 gallons of wine. That's like over 120 gallons of wine. So tons of wine. So it's a lot more. And do you remember what the head waiter says? He says, well, most people serve the best wine first. And then after you had a few, you know, the lesser wine people won't notice. But wow, you guys, you saved the best wine for last. Like, I think it's not a biblical proof text for what you're saying, but it's a great biblical analogy of the love that is forged through the cross, through the little difficulties, through the little socks, and whatever your sock issue is in your marriage. The love is refined, and it's much better. Just like the good wine at Cana.
Wendy, thank you. I'm just going to leave it there. I hope that was helpful to you because there are so many folks on the line and we only have a limited time with the Srees, but thank you for that question. Now I'm going to go down to San Antonio, Texas. Susan in San Antonio, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Glad to have you, Susan. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Edward and Beth Sree.
So my husband and I have been married 37 years. But I'll have to say that the last 20, except for our children, have not been joy-filled. And we're at a point where I don't know if I can keep living with him. And the hard part for me is if I only think about the good in him, I love him. If I think about the first 16 years of our marriage, you know, but there's a daily hostility, and he's at, as I heard Father in his show earlier talk about pride, and, you know, you can't be told, and that's kind of where it's always been, is I can't tell him anything. I can't tell him to pick up the socks. I can't, you know, ask him to slow down. He gets very agitated, and today he was very excited telling me about an idea he had, and I said, we can sit down and do that. I said, but I need you to stay home more often. He has, you know, a little side job that he does. But he can choose when he works and when he doesn't. And he's been working almost every day, you know, and he says, well, I'm trying to bring in the extra income that we need. But the problem is throughout our marriage, he's always had that, I've got to make more money, and it takes up our marriage time.
Susan,
we don't have any. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I got you. Let's let the Srees respond.
First of all, Susan, that's really hard, and I just really empathize with what you're going through. I mean, for 20 years to be facing that is quite a lot, and I honor your strength and your perseverance in through of that. I have a couple ideas. First of all, you can't change him. You've probably noticed this already. So what can you do? You can work on yourself. You can, you know, do whatever you need to do to open up space within you to encounter him and love him and to focus on the good qualities, like you said. And whether that you might need therapy together, spiritual direction, a good friend, but someone to really encourage you in this task. And then also when he does open up to you about his idea, like you were just saying, like to really hold back from the laundry list that you know should be a higher priority, but to instead be just enter into that joy with him and meet him there and see what happens.
Do you mind? We'll come back on the other side and we'll continue with that. We'll see how Susan feels about that or if you have more points, Beth. I'm sorry that this is a hard break. I can't do anything about it. But we'll take this break and be right back to talk about more about the messiness, the goodness, and the beauty of marriage with the Shrees on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life. But only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll mark the anniversary of the miracle of the sun at Fatima, plus all the latest news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guests are Beth and Edward Shree, the parents of eight and ministers in many, many ways, including significantly for both of them with Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, where Dr. Shree is now the Vice President for Apostolic Outreach. And they also have eight kids together. And now they've got this new book, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. You can get it from Ascension Press. Ascension Press makes such beautiful books, so you always know you're going to get something good from them. And this one certainly is on the line to talk about the messiness of marriage. Susan in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Susan, I'm sorry I had to cut off the conversation you were having with Beth Shree, but I wanted to come back to you to see if you had a follow-up for her, or was that acceptable what we've done, or what would you like?
Well, we have tried counseling with regular counselor and a priest and all, and it'll last for about a week, and then he just kind of tosses it by the wayside. I do try to look at what I can do and, you know, just kind of sometimes, unfortunately, ignore him or his behavior or both. And I've kind of just kind of moved into just doing, focusing on just doing what I do, but it's sad.
Yeah.
Because I wanted us to do things together.
Beth?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you in that. I would say there's cause for hope. I mean, if only just clinging to hope of, Lord, I made a vow to this man and I honor him and I work to support him in all the ways that are available to me. But also just the fact that you mentioned earlier that he is opening up to you. That's a win. The fact that he's sharing something he's excited about, because to do that is to necessarily be vulnerable. And so there is, I think, cause for hope in ways that you could bring it back together, of course, through prayer and sacrifices and just staying in it and persevering. But I'll pray for you, Susan. God bless you.
Susan, thank you so much for the call. Dr. Edward Sree and Beth Sree are our guests. I have to say, I identify with Susan said about the sadness, because when you are a person, I guess this would probably include almost all people who get married, and then marriage disappoints, it hurts, it frustrates, it upsets at different points. And there is a sadness that it wasn't, hey, what happened? It's like a little dream was shattered or something. And there can be sadness and anger associated with that. I suppose a lot of us just want to know, how do I deal with that sadness and anger?
Well, you go. No, you're fine.
It's totally, I look at that and think that's what the sacrament is supposed to do, right? All of our vocations, we make a gift of ourselves so that we can be purified and sanctified, so that we're able to, you know, merit heaven and be with Jesus forever, right? And the way we are now, we're not going to cut it, right? But we have our whole lives to work through it. So marriage does that. It brings up the best out of you, but it also brings the worst out of you. An analogy we use is making bone broth, which is something I do every once in a while here. But when you make it, you throw the bones in a stock pot and you let it simmer for a very long time, 24 to 48 hours. And it makes a beautiful broth full of vitamins, minerals, collagen, all that awesome stuff. But necessarily, the nasty stuff comes up too. This thick, foamy substance, the scum, it smells bad. It's really nasty. But that's what marriage is. You and your husband, your spouse, you're thrown into the big stock pot of marriage. And the slow simmer of the years, the good stuff comes out of you and the bad stuff comes out of you. And that's not an accident. That's by design.
Yeah. Isn't that what a great analogy? You got the analogies. You're loaded with them, Beth.
She came up with this on the fly. We were doing a talk for down in Denver a couple of years ago. And there was this big point we wanted to make about marriage and what it does. And I said, honey, we need an analogy. And all of a sudden she says, bone broth. I'm like, bone broth? But it's true. You know, I think it's bringing that scum to the surface, so to speak, in our lives. Not to just say, oh, look, we have all that scum. But it's because God wants to put his finger on it. He wants to heal us. He wants to change us. And so, you know, in most relationships in life, you can kind of manage people's perceptions of you, you know, in the office and in the community, even at the parish. You can kind of like, you know, put on a nice show. But in marriage, there's no room to hide.
Yeah.
Everything's going to come, the good, the messy, and the beautiful, you know. But it's painful sometimes, you know, and can be very sorrowful at times as well. But there's something beautiful that God is trying to do in our hearts through those difficult challenges that we all have.
Susan, thank you again for that call. I'm going to go to Paul now in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Paul, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Edward and Beth Sree.
Hey, Sai. Hello, Dr. Edward and Beth Sree. I got to see Dr. Sree speak at St. Martha's here in Buffalo a few months back, and that was wonderful. I have a question. First, I just wanted to say, Susan, if you're still listening, maybe if just sitting 15 minutes during a day and just talking to, say, set aside 15 minutes and just talk, or possibly adoration. In the very beginning of the show, you were saying about how Jesus made the new wine, and that analogy is just beautiful. So what popped into my head was the question, at what point did the church, after Jesus had instituted the sacrament of marriage, at what point did the church start practicing that? You mean, as a sacrament.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, it's from the very beginning. You know, did they have, you know, the certificates and, you know, all the, you know, had all the theology around this, you know, that wasn't quite there. But, you know, so, for example, the Jews practiced marriage. It was a real marriage, you know, and you could have a natural marriage. But as soon as two Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit from baptism and, you know, that once they get married, it you know, it becomes a sacramental marriage. But they're really, if they're living what the church is intending for in marriage, you know, now the theology of it develops over time. You see this in the writings of the church fathers. Augustine's one of the biggest figures in the early church to write extensively about marriage, but right away, I mean, I bet some of those people that were baptized at Pentecost, if they're, you know, there might be two Christians that then they fell in love in that Christian community, they get married, that would have been a Christian marriage right from the very beginning.
Paul, thank you very, very much for the question. I'm going to go now to Kathy in New York, probably in a different part of New York, listening on Real Presence Radio. Kathy, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Beth and Dr. Edwards Sree.
Hi. I'm calling for my daughter. I just found out last week her husband wants a divorce. No reason given. There's nobody else. They're married 15 years. Have a 6.5-year-old who is very sensitive. And he moved back with his parents. He does come to see him, but he wants to get a divorce, and you can't, no counseling, nothing. He wants nothing to do with that. I don't know how to help her.
I'm very sorry, Kathy. Beth will share. I'm sure she works with a ministry with for people who've grown up in divorce homes and all. It sounds like there's no even reason. Like, he's just completely cutting off, and he is still going to see the kids, though. That he's not trying to cut off from the kids. Is that what I heard?
Oh no, he's doing even more now than he did before.
Oh, he's spending time with the kid. He just doesn't want any time with her.
But with daddy not being home at night or during in the morning, it's hard on him.
Oh, extremely hard. For your daughter, I'll speak to the daughter. Maybe you can speak more to the son, you know, or feel free both. I think, I mean, for her to know there's a marriage here. There's a grace in the sacrament to cling to it, to not give up, you know, to turn her sorrows to Jesus, to the Blessed Sacrament. And we talked about the cross, and a little sock in the show is a tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of the cross. What your daughter is going through is the heavy weight of the cross in a much deeper way. But to know it's real, that even there, she can still pray for her husband. She can still offer the sorrow that she's even experiencing from him. She can actually turn that and unite that. And so if she feels that pain, I pray for him. Pray that his heart will change, that he'll come back to be faithful to what we committed to. I mean, there's all the other things, like, you know, I don't know where they are in the conversation. Is he open to trying to work on the marriage? It sounds like he's not. And so in these very, you can't change the other person. You can only work on yourself, as Beth said earlier. And all that she can do here is like St. Monica couldn't change her husband, Patricius. But she just prayed, had too many tears, sacrifices, and his heart eventually was changed. And to have hope in that. But I don't know if you have any other thoughts for...
I'm just moved very deeply by this story, Kathy. And I'm grateful for you as a good mom and a good grandma, too. I mean, I can feel your own pain and sorrow for them in your voice. And that's just beautiful. And I think just the fact that you're in it and you see the depth of what's happening here and that you can call that out and speak truth, because there are many in our society that, you know, don't see divorce as a tragedy. My parents divorced when I was very young and grew up with that. And it did affect me. It took me a long time to realize the effects, but they are deep.
Well into our marriage.
Within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so, but to have a grandmother and a mother that can acknowledge your grandson's grief and be in it with him and give him space to verbalize it and to feel all that is going on within him throughout his life, because it's not just a one and done event. It's going to be a lifelong wound. At some point, the ministry I'm involved in is called Life Giving Wounds. The website's lifegivingwounds.org, and we offer retreats and support groups, but it's to allow the now adult children of divorce to give voice to the pain and to seek deep healing from Jesus and the church. So,
many of them never get the chance to grieve, but really.
It's like, unusual. It's unusual.
When they're at that, so I think that's what you're saying, is to encourage right. to him, it like to not just, well, it'll be okay. No, it's not.
Right.
This is a deep wound. Right. And to just acknowledge it, like if somebody was in a car accident and,
right.
you know, lost a limb, you know, that like that's a severe thing. You grieve it. You don't just go, it's going to, oh, it'll be fine. It's, you know, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry that happened. No, it's and they're going to need someone with them all throughout.
In appropriate ways. Yeah. And when they're young and it's harder to grasp. But as the child ages, it becomes more of a gaping void. But I love the quote from Pope Francis. He says, our wounds are points of intimacy with Jesus. And that's definitely something for your daughter and your grandson to stand on, that this is so hard and there's no denying that. But there is something richer and really the hand of God in a strange way. But Jesus is in it with them, suffering with them throughout.
Kathy, I'm going to say thank you for the call. I'm very, very sorry. I know many people listening are praying for you and for your family, and we'll continue to pray for you and your family. You share a story that is a heartbreak for a grandmother, and it's a heartbreak many grandmothers know in today's world. I do have to take a break, however, so I'll have to leave it there and say thank you again for the call. We'll be right back with more on the good, the messy, and the beautiful in married life with Dr. Edward and Beth Shree right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour today, our own chaplain, Father Sam Keyes, will be here with us, and we'll do Ask a Priest. You can ask anything that would be appropriate of a priest, from a theological question to a pastoral question, maybe a prayer or a family life question. Those are all welcome in the second hour. This hour, we're talking about marriage. The book is called The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. Its authors are Beth and Edward Shree, our guests this hour. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It does remind me of a movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Is there any scene in here where one of you is standing on a tombstone with a rope around his or her neck, or is that not part of this?
Not so sometimes much. She puts one around my neck. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But you know, the part that I do want to make sure we stress, so that people will get the book, is that you do stress that there's joy in all of this, that this is a joyful endeavor for you, that it is messy, but joyful.
Absolutely. No, this is, in fact, this book certainly I hope would be helpful for those, you know, like 911 marriage situations that are, yeah. you know, in. But that's not the heart of it. This book is written for ordinary people like you and I. You know, we love Jesus. We really do love each other, but it's hard sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, and all these marriages go through these moments of difficulty and challenge and trials. And so there is the joy that comes through working through the difficulty together, to see them again, not as problems, but as places of encounter. Like even that bone broth analogy that Beth mm-hmm. used earlier about, like, marriage has a way of bringing up all of our weaknesses, all of our sins to the surface, because God wants, he's teaching me to take a heart like his surface as well. I mean, that's another big thing. You know, we talked about children coming from divorce. There are so many people that suffer from, you know, dysfunctional family life, abuse, mm-hmm. Previous relationships,
addictions.
There's lots of all of this stuff.
Yes.
It's all going to come out. And to not be shocked and not be mm-hmm. surprised in those moments, because if you actually go and do the hard work and, like, and say, wonder, okay, why did I just respond that way when she said that?
Right.
Why was I so angry? In other words, instead of, like, looking at, well, why is she causing me this frustration? It's more, why was I so angry? What is it saying about me? It's like, oh, I'm just too attached to having my plan and my will be done, you know? Or why did I respond emotionally? Well, I think, you know, because when I was a child, I always thought it was like this, or I was hurt from something and it reminds me of that. In other words, it's God's using it to point out things he wants to work on in my heart. And when we work on that, then there comes the great joy.
Totally. You know, there's a lot of shame today, but yeah. We wanted to blow that open.
Well, yeah. If I may ask you, Beth, because, you know, you talked about being a child of divorce yourself, and now you're the mother of 8 children. And many women, I think, are conflicted about children, maybe afraid, especially having suffered, you know, the traumas of divorce. Is the husband going to stay around? Am I going to, you know, how did you, if you don't mind me asking, find joy in being a mom of 8 in a world where that's a little bit unusual these days?
Yeah, I wonder at that too, Cy, because it's certainly how I came from.
Yeah,
I'm so grateful, though. I mean, my children, when someone asks me, what are you most proud of in my life? It's Madeline, Paul, Teresa, Carl, Luke, Kiara, and Josephine.
I assume those are the children.
But my kids, like, they're my life's work, and I just, oh, they're so great. And I don't want it to sound like, oh, marriage is so hard and you should, oh, you know, it's just hard, because there's so many things, especially now, you build a life and it builds you, you know, like, we committed to marriage, we committed to each other, we committed to being open to life, we committed to raising our children in a godly way and committed to prayer and to day in, day out, be in the trenches. And then as the kids are older, starting to see glimmers of fruits of that, it's really exciting. And yes, it was hard. Yes, there were days I was just pulling my hair out and exhausted. And yeah. But oh man, I'd have 8 more if I could. They're so great.
That would be a beautiful witness, Beth. Thank you. I'm going to go to Stephen now in San Antonio, Texas, listening on 89.7 FM. That is Guadalupe Radio. Stephen, go ahead with your question for the Sries.
Hello. Yes, I was just wondering. I've always heard it's been said that in order to keep a marriage going, that you should just do what you were doing in the beginning of the marriage, like when you were engaged and you were, like, doing all sorts of stuff, dating your wife and all that. And I was just wondering, to keep a marriage alive, is it really that simplistic, just do what you were doing before you got married? Or is it more complex than that?
I think it's a lot more complex. I'm going to use an analogy. Don't get me wrong. If there's certain things you did early and you go back.
Date nights are good.
Yeah.
date nights.
That's right. So are things like that. But, like, I'll go to John of the Cross. Here, when John of the Cross talks about the growth in the spiritual life, that sometimes as the Lord's drawing us to something deeper in a friendship with him, it's harder. We don't like it as much. And our temptation is to go back and go, I'm going to use that prayer book I used to use when I first prayed. Or I'm going to use that devotion or pray in that chapel. And John of the Cross says, like, what you're doing is you're clinging to the past as opposed to seeing the way God is inviting your love to go deeper. You know, so I would be looking also just in the different seasons of life for what does my wife really need right now? What does she really enjoy right now? What works where we are? Like one thing, Beth and I, we go for a walk almost every night after dinner because we have older kids that can take care of the kitchen and take care of the little ones. It's awesome. But we couldn't do that early on in our marriage. We had little ones running around, you know, so we couldn't pull that off. So now this is a great thing for us. Walking, going for walks was not something we did as often early on in our marriage. So it can kind of change. But more than just the things itself, I think it's looking for what is the way God is inviting my love to grow now? Yes. Not just keep loving the way I did. I mean, every day of our married life, I pray. I'm thinking, I'm always learning new ways. I'm learning new things. Oh, I didn't realize when I do that, that frustrates you. Or I didn't realize that I wasn't thoughtful. It means more to you if I think about this for you. You know, I just know there's so many ways I can be growing in love as opposed to, hey, let's just do the same things we've done in the past.
Yeah, and by nature, love is not stagnant. It's always seeking new ways to give of itself. And so to just grow in curiosity and figuring out, I mean, you almost have to be a detective about your spouse, you know, and even if you're married 70 years, you're still going to be learning new things about your spouse because they're going to be continually growing just like you are. And it's a glorious adventure, really.
It's sure, a good question. Yeah. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for that. I'm going to keep moving, try to get as many on as I can with the Shrees. And up next is Jay in Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Jay, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for the Shrees. I can hear you, Jay. I know you're there. Thinking about this question. All right. I'm coming back to you, Jay. Hang on, because you sound like you might be caught in a terrible windstorm at the moment. The wind has picked up in Pennsylvania. I'll do the weather report right now. Jay, I am coming back to you. Don't worry about that. But let's go to Portland, Oregon. Scott in Portland, Oregon, listening on the great modern day Catholic radio in Portland. Go ahead with your question.
This is Scott. Am I the right one?
You are Scott, yes, in Portland, right?
Oh, okay, I didn't hear Scott. Okay. Well, I just wanted to offer a little bit of encouragement for those that are having trouble, especially the caller before last. My wife and I were separated for 3.5 years, and then about 2.5 years into that, she filed for divorce, and that just kept going. She not really any communication whatsoever between us in those 3.5 years that we were separated. And I blamed her at first, but then that only went so far. And I think it was, you know, through God's, you know, tapping on my shoulder, the Holy Spirit saying it was me that was the problem of the marriage. And I just wasn't the good Catholic man that I thought I was. And lo and behold, about 2 weeks before the divorce is supposed to be final, she showed up at my doorstep. She called me up and said, I need help. There was forest fires in Central Oregon where she was living, and some really, really awful family situation was going on down there. And she says, I'm here in Portland. I need your help. Can you help me? I said, sure. I said, the key's under the mat. Let yourself in. And that was a year ago last July. And so anyway, about 2 weeks before the divorce happened, I said that anyway. So anyway, over the course of the last year and a month, she and I have become closer than we've ever been in our 15 years of marriage. There's just some hope there because
hope. Yeah,
we're living.
Jay, I got to let the Shrees respond, or else I won't get any response because the show's about to end. But there is hope.
Absolutely, that's a beautiful story.
Beautiful story. I know many couples. Same things. I mean, it's crazy. You just think there's no hope. And then God does something in that person's heart and something changes, or a situation like this came up. There's a certain crisis that opens a door. You just never know. And so, I mean, I don't want to, you know, offer false expectations. You never know God's time and God's way, but He is there. He's present. So all those that have those really deep challenges like this, never give up hope. It is a sacrament. There's a grace that's really there. You're calling on it constantly for your spouse.
Jay, thanks very much. Hey, I mean, Jay in Pennsylvania, I'm sorry that I didn't get back to you, but let's give Jay a pile of books just to apologize because I didn't make it back to him. Thanks to everybody who called. I want to especially thank Beth and Edward Sree, Dr. Edward Sree. We've had them on individually. We've had them on together. They're just always great. And now they've got this brand new book out, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. To me, this book seems like the perfect Christmas present for that person who, well, you know the person who will benefit from it. Get it for them for Christmas. Beth, Dr. Edward, thank you both for a beautiful hour. Really wonderful, beautiful testimony. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.